This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Acuron Corn Herbicide from Syngenta, which delivers 5 to 15 more bushels an acre than with any other herbicide. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and university trials. It's October 29th. It snowed in the Midwest. Bean harvest is easily 2 weeks behind the average pace. And corn harvest is at least 3 weeks behind. And there's more snow in the forecast. And, yeah, no, it's still early in the harvest. Not time to worry yet.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, there's all kinds of ways to make radio. Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com for the entire hour. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Yeah, we got Bubba coming up.
How are you?
We are previewing what is expected to be a rate cut by the Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
That should be announced tomorrow. It's baked into the market. We'll see what Bubba's got to say about that.
Yeah. Unless the powers that be decide to take Bubba's longstanding advice, which is unchanged as long as I've known Todd Bubba Horowitz, and that's
right.
To abolish the Fed. Abolish the Fed! These jokers don't know what they're doing.
And if you're not going to abolish the Fed, let's go ahead and add a point to interest rates right now.
Yeah, while we're at it, why not?
Yeah. No, it is an interesting conversation with Bubba to kind of, you know, it's almost like you're on a raft and you're going through like a class 4 rapids.
Okay.
Something like that. It's not the real, real bad stuff unless I've got my classes all mixed up, which is entirely possible. I wouldn't think so after visiting 6 colleges in 1 year.
I would think you know about everything at this point.
Right, wouldn't you?
You dang well better.
but it's kind of like riding the rapids in the conversation with Bubba. You just got to hang on every now and then, and you're going to get wet. You're going to be gasping for breath at some point.
Yeah.
But we'll ride ourselves and have the conversation with Bubba today. You know, I'm saying this because he's listening, right?
I know. He can hear us.
Yeah.
He can hear us. Yeah. I will say, anytime that, because I've guest hosted the show a few times and had Bubba as my guest, and he was gracious enough to do that, the listeners just lit up. They love what Bubba has to say. They love the different perspective. 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524 or hashtag it AgriTalk. You can ask Bubba directly, whatever it is.
And for those of you that missed that number, it's 855-482-5524.
No, it's 855-482-5524.
Right.
Sparkle City 85000 will also do.
You can also tweet at us when you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. That way I will be sure to see it. Let's get to it. What's in the news?
Chip, USDA's first crop condition report of the fall for winter wheat put 56% of that crop in good to excellent condition, 3 points higher than year ago. The improvement is in HRW country, with SRW crop conditions coming in below year ago. Mm-hmm. On the demand side of the market, traders are waiting on official results on Egypt's tender for wheat, but it does appear Egypt will purchase one ship from France, one from Russia, and 2 ships from Ukraine. Jordan also reportedly booked a cargo of wheat from Romania. Sources indicate there is a firm tone in price compared to the last round of Egyptian tenders. December hard red futures were 2 cents higher at 419. December soft red futures slipped a quarter of a cent to 511.5. December spring wheat fell 2 cents to 525.75, Chip.
Okay, 4 cargoes total to Egypt is what it looks like happened. That might be just a touch disappointing. 240,000 metric tons. If it would have been, it wouldn't have to be double what it is. Then I think maybe the market would have been a little more excited about the end users deciding now's the time to go ahead and get some additional coverage in place. But just the simple fact that we are seeing this kind of persistent demand for wheat globally, mm-hmm. I think it's going to help us out again later this week.
All right. Well, corn harvest as of October 27 was 41% complete. That's up 11 points from last week, but is 20 points behind the five-year average pace. Still, traders are willing to generally ignore the yield hazards of a later-than-normal harvest season. The lack of concern over harvest conditions seems to be tied to slow export demand and the ongoing battles over the RFS. December corn futures were 2.25 cents higher at 386.25. March corn firmed up 1.5 cents to 396. May corn closed at 402.75, up 1.25 on the day.
The grain dryer, Davis, we knew it was going to be a bottleneck. And so when you see the corn harvest 20 points behind the five-year average pace, you can, and here we are at 40% complete, call it, with the time that we are spending dumping at the grain dryer, what's the most that you can expect in a week as far as harvest progress goes?
Right.
You know, 12%, 13%, something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're looking at least a month, maybe 5 weeks into that first week of December.
Yeah.
Before we, and that's if we can keep rolling. We're going to need some Canadian concrete in some places too.
Yes.
Before we can get back out in the field.
Well, and I need to do some more research because I'm speaking from a sample size of one, but one of our beloved listeners has been texting me over the last couple of days about a propane shortage. He's unable to get anybody out to top him off, so it might be a good time to get in touch with your preferred propane retailer. See if they can top you off just right quick.
Yeah, I was going to text you yesterday afternoon. I got caught at a railroad crossing. And in front of me went car after car after car of liquefied petroleum gas.
Oh, I love the sound of that. We're going to need
it. We're going to need it. Yep.
Well, even as it becomes clear that China is positioning to complete phase one of the trade agreement with the U.S. to facilitate an agreement when the presidents Trump and Xi meet in Chile next month, bean futures struggle to maintain upside price movement. Bean harvest as of Sunday was put at 62% complete. That's up 16 points from last week, but still 16 points behind the five-year average pace. Slow harvest and snowy, wet conditions in the upper Midwest should also help to limit selling interest in bean futures. November bean futures were 2.5 cents lower, 9.18 1/4. January beans slipped 2 cents to 9.33 1/2. March beans closed at 9.46 1/4, down 1.5 today, Chip.
Yeah, based on what I saw on my travels yesterday afternoon, I would say. Well, and not just yesterday afternoon, but last week as well.
Yeah.
I'm taking the over on 62% complete on bean harvest.
Right on.
You know, I know that when you get into North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, even parts of Northeast Nebraska, things are still really slow, but in the heart of the belt, I'm taking the overs on the 62.
All right. Well, let me grab a gear here for the livestock news. Yesterday's follow-up strength to last week's rally in the boxed beef market raised expectations of a $1 to $2 gain in the cash cattle market this week. December cattle were 22.5 higher today at 116.82.5. February cattle futures gained 0.25 to close at 121.97.5. November feeders slipped 25 cents, 145.47.5. And finally, on the snout side, traders are impressed with pork demand in the U.S. market and in the export market, but they're more concerned about record hog supplies coming to market. December hogs 132.5 lower, 64.32.5. Feb lean hogs fell $1.35, 72.62.5. Chip,
these slaughter tallies.
It just doesn't stop.
My gosh. I mean, two years ago, these slaughter tallies would have had us looking at a 1998 style market going into Thanksgiving. This year, because of the expansion that we've seen in the industry, we're absorbing it. We're handling it.
Yep.
All right. We got Bubba coming up next. Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com on AgriTalk. Herbicides are a critical part of every grower's arsenal to fight weeds. Unfortunately, they may not be using them according to label directions. I've got Zach Trower, Agronomy Service Representative for Syngenta from Eastern Iowa, with me today. Zach, what would be the biggest mistake that growers make when they apply their herbicides?
Yeah, you know, I'd say the biggest mistake growers make when they apply their herbicide is they just don't apply enough of it. You know, simply put, you have to follow the labeled rate and use a full labeled rate. You know, let's use an example of a new product we have, a Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology. It's our newest soybean herbicide. That's a combination of dicamba and S-metolachlor. The labeled rate is 3.53 pints per acre per application. It's not 3 pints. It's not 3.5 pints. It's specifically 3.53 pints.
Very interesting. Why would you make the decision not to use a full rate?
You know, I think there's a lot of things out here on the market today. I think there's a little bit of misinformation. You know, some guys will be sitting there saying, well, you know, you can get by with this right now. You can, you know, this works. This is what I did. I cut the rate a little bit, and this worked for me. You know, to complicate this, let's look at the crop prices, right? I mean, I'm a farmer. My family's farmers. You know, I'm realistic that I understand depressed crop prices make some of these decisions a little difficult. And, you know, the guys are trying to cut costs, and they're like, hey, if I cut this rate down enough, it'll work. And, you know, I saved a little money. We have to end up using more and more, and eventually won't be able to use it anymore.
Yeah, and you've got to do it in a timely fashion before those weeds get too tall, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I kind of have a saying here, and when I talk about it, it doesn't matter if you're from Illinois or Nebraska or wherever, I tell everybody, spray black dirt. You know, don't let the weeds even come up. Get your residual to the ground and try to kill those weeds before they ever emerge. And that's about the best way. But I'm also a realist. I understand when you farm 1,000, 2,000 acres, that's not real. So, you know, we have to spray small weeds. Or if you think you see green out there, that is the best time to go out and apply a herbicide.
Very good. Hey, everybody, visit www.resistancefighter.com to learn more about how to fight resistance development. That is Zach Trower, Agronomy Service Representative from Syngenta, explaining why it's important to always use those full labeled rates. Always read and follow label instructions. Tavium Plus Vapor Grip Technology is a restricted use pesticide. Vapor Grip is used under license from Monsanto Technology, LLC.
The sounds of success vary from person to person.
Over to second in time.
Success sounds like this to a Credenz soybean grower. When you pick Credenz, you get a precise variety that fits your field. A variety built to work in your soil type and conditions with targeted traits for local pest and disease pressures. Earning the satisfaction of a successful soybean crop? That's smart. Talk to your authorized Credenz retailer or local BASF seed advisor. Always read and follow label directions.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success. Like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-626-4910. That's 800-626-4910.
Threats, and they require serious seed protection. Valent USA has developed a 1-2 punch defense so growers can take the next step in soybean protection. Intego Sweet Soybeans has 4 powerful modes of action against insects and diseases that work in tandem with Aveo EZ nematicide to stop soybean pests and diseases before they strike. Find out more at soybeanprotection.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me.
AgriTalk!
this tweet came from at Corn Firmer earlier today. Said, even though we didn't get much snow, Mm-hmm. We are at a standstill as we froze the combine up yesterday and snow is still stuck to the corn today. Ooh. I don't know if the corn is still stuck to the corn right now, you know, 3 hours later, 4 hours later.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, that's part of what guys are dealing with out there. You've got to wait. I mean, you freeze those combines up. Mm-hmm. Next year, this summer, you're probably putting in a heated shop if you don't already have one after you freeze up a combine.
You know, maybe a corn-burning stove.
Right.
Hey, in that heated shop.
There you go.
Now we're talking.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Corn was slightly higher today. Soybean slightly lower. Soybean meal work to the downside. Bean oil to the upside. SRW wheat futures fractionally lower. Hard red slightly higher. Minneapolis wheat was lower. We had some strength in live cattle futures, mixed trade in feeders, and lean hogs, unfortunately, were under pressure again today. Let's bring him in, Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How are you, Bubba?
Hi, Jeff. Hi, David.
What's up, guys?
How are we doing, Bubba?
We're doing well. We're doing well. So, hey, Bubba, I got to know. I mean, you were there. You were trading the market. What was it like in 1929 when the market crashed?
Wait, you laugh. I was there in 1987. Pretty similar, well, right?
Oh, there
yep.
you go.
I remember exactly what I was doing on Black Friday 1987. Yep. I remember it exactly.
Black Monday, I was in the pit trading, and the fear was unbelievable. Okay,
yeah.
I mean it was incredible. The action, and of course, obviously, the fear subsided, and the markets are now 20 times higher.
Right. So do you put much emphasis on these anniversaries? I mean, a 90-year anniversary, the 1929 crash, I think it's a significant anniversary. It's going to be more important 10 years from now, but still.
Zero. It means zero. It's got nothing to do, you know, every market is different. Right. Every market, you know, goes up, it goes down, they churn, they go through all the different phases. And of course, we always want to remember the big disastrous days or whatever that have happened. But at the end of the day, they mean absolutely nothing. They're not going to affect today's market. There's not going to be extra selling. You know, I think for the first couple of years after the Black Monday that I was involved in, there was a little bit of concern. But basically, we go past it. And markets are markets, and they're trading where they are trading today. Because really, Chip, what we really look for in everything we do, it's always about the price action. It's always about what's happening. It really has very little to do with anything outside until it does, which means that, you know, these markets are ignoring anything that is possibly bad out there. They're ignoring the record amount of debt and everything else. And eventually, these markets that we see today will also fall apart. But what do we know? In 100 years, 150 years, they've gone up an average of 8.5% per year. So why would we expect that to change?
Okay. Now, one of the things that you just said, I appreciate what you just said, but I could also hear eyes rolling across the Midwest when you said...
They can roll.
I know. But when you said it doesn't matter it doesn't matter until it does. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, look, price action dictates everything, right? You may not agree, but at the end of the day, the news, the USDA reports, all these things that come out, and you know I'm not a big fan of them either, but all these reports that come out are already priced in ahead of time. Because by the time we get the news, it's usually, more often than not, priced into the market. You have to remember that we go back before information travels so quickly. And news actually meant something because the markets weren't open 20 hours a day. You didn't get news at night. You didn't have all these funds grabbing this information and pre-trading it. What would happen a lot of times is guys weren't prepared for it, and it was a much bigger deal then if there was a big miss because there was no place to make it up. And you only had the 5 hours a day if you were trading it to trade it. So today, with markets reopening every night at 7 o'clock Central Time, and they're open till 7:30 in the morning, and then they reopen it at 8:15 or 8:30 again, and close again at 1:15. I mean, there's plenty of time. So what they've done is they've taken away the surprise element, and you then tie into that the big funds, the big money, they always know kind of what's going on. They're ahead of the curve. Why? Because they're paying their people millions of dollars a year to get the numbers right. And I got news for you. If you took all the piece-by-piece, piecemeal numbers that we get throughout a cycle, you could put that report together yourself without the USDA because, again, they put it together and then they add a little spice to it for whatever reason.
Okay. Give us a call. It's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us when you do include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. The change in the market that you just described, Bubba, and you can't give me it is what it is answer, okay? Do you sometimes wish that we could go back and have a little more human influence on these markets?
I would love to go back. Believe me, I think I should be living in the 50s. I hate all this technology.
Well, you got a haircut for it.
You know, me and Ringo. You know, look, I don't like the lack of being able to, you know, try to anticipate and look for things to happen. You know, you can make some certain ideas and kind of forecast out, but it's always been about price. But right now, again, when you can spread this information out and when you can give people more time to digest the news, it has changed the actual way markets work. And of course, it also ties into the money issue, which, you know, ties into the Fed. But again, the manipulation of currency has also changed a lot of things. It's changed values on a lot of things because of the way markets go. But I would love to, I hated when they went, in my world, they first went to decimals, which I hated because I knew that was the end of floor trading. The minute they went to decimals, floors were done. Okay. Yeah. So now you've got all these other things going on. And of course, again, you've got so much information that it's hard that these numbers can ever be a major surprise. And, you know, if you go back to John F. Kennedy and you remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, they knew about that 2 weeks before anybody in the world, before anybody in the United States knew, any citizens knew, they already knew about it 2 weeks ahead of time because the information didn't flow. You know, if you burped in Japan, it's already in California already. I mean, that's what we don't have that. We didn't have that then. And that's what happens to a lot of these markets as well.
Yeah. So have the markets, the commodity markets, let's make sure that I'm specific in that. Have the commodity markets become more of an ETF or an index than actual price discovery because of all of this?
Well, I guess you could look at it that way. I mean, it is still somewhat of a price discovery market. Okay, you know, there's other factors that are involved. You know, it's not straight price discovery because we've got other factors involved, whether it be, you know, interest rates or whatever cost to carry. There's a whole bunch of things that now are much more in play ahead of time, but they still do obviously have meaning towards the board. And certainly a farmer producer can certainly use the ETF or the board. It still trades like the market. It's just, again, it is less of a real true price discovery market. Yeah. It's less of a true supply and demand market right now, right? So, it's become much more scientific than it ever was. And again, that's not a bad thing because it just determines price. And again, if you can determine price, then you have the best idea of where the market is headed by understanding how the price structure works. And you know, you guys were talking about hogs, you know, about, you know, how they've been. You realize they're in the same spot they've been every year this month for the last five?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is exactly right. And it with the way that this market has changed, I mean, I know that you always, in my world, I always have to balance the supply against the demand against the supply in the market. And as our supply is going up, our demand is going up. Therefore, you can argue that maybe we should be right back to where we were about a year ago right now in hogs. But at the same time, you think about how much has changed in this market in the last 12 months, and the simple fact that we are close to where we were a year ago in hogs is a little mind-blowing.
Well, that just goes to show you that it really comes back down to price. You see, that's, again, it's always hard to understand, but that's really what every market, and it doesn't matter what you're looking at. I mean, it could be any market. Every market that we trade comes down to price, whether it's a stock, commodity. Now, commodities are the best for real true markets because they don't have any outside influence from the CEO stealing money or you know, something that happens.
Right.
It throws the earnings off. You know, commodities are pure, right? So that's the nice thing about trading those things is that they're really clean, and there's no outside elements other than, you know, weather or things that can happen that will drive to trade them one way or the other. But typically, the masses are wrong.
Bubba, we got to get to a break, and I don't know if you heard this or not, but it sounds like the Fed is going to cut rates. What do you think?
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
It's time for AgriTalk's Tech Talk. Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Baugh joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Chip, I'm looking at the U.S. dollar today. The trade-weighted U.S. dollar index has been working higher since bottoming around 89 in late 2017. It's risen steadily this year, with the only hiccup being an early summer dip below solid support of its 200-day moving average. However, after having climbed to a 30-month high around 99 in mid-September, the index fell sharply, slipped below its 200-day MA in mid-October, then worked slightly higher lately. The bulls haven't been able to decisively penetrate resistance at the 100-day MA, thereby creating what looks like a bear flag on the charts. The Fed may cut U.S. interest rates tomorrow, which might easily trigger a bearish follow-through by the dollar. But widespread anticipation of such a move may limit the reaction.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff. Yeah, this one has been very well advertised, no doubt about it. Thank you, Dan. That is Pro Farmer Senior Economist Dan Baugh. Pro Farmer members, get your daily advice updates at ProFarmer.com.
Find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at ShopFarmJournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at ShopFarmJournal.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
I'm Zach Johnson, a row crop farmer in Minnesota.
And I'm Mitchell Hora, a farmer in Iowa.
Agriculture has to feed a growing population, and many people want us to pull that off without messing up the environment. So how do we do that?
We're trying to figure that out on our podcast, Fieldwork. Check us out on the AgriTalk app and learn more at fieldworktalk.org.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. Glad that you could join us today. I'm Chip. We are talking with Bubba today. That is Todd Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. Before we get back to that conversation, let's get a recap of how the markets did today from Davis Michelson.
Chip, December hard red futures were 2 cents higher at 419. December soft red futures slipped a quarter of a cent to 511.5. December corn futures were 2.25 cents higher at 386.25. March corn firmed a penny and a half to 396. November bean futures 2.5 cents lower at 918.25. January beans slipped 2 cents to 933.5. December cattle 22.5 higher, 116.82.5. November feeders slipped 25 cents to 145.47.5. December hogs were 132.5 lower at 64.32.5. There's your quick market recap. Back to her, Chip.
All right. Thank you so much. Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com is our guest today. Bubba, hey, Vaught just did the tech talk on the dollar. Do you watch the dollar for any indications of what might be happening in either equities or commodities?
Thank God you read that disclaimer first for me. I watch the dollar all the time because I trade it. Again, I believe obviously there's a correlation, right? Dollar commodities, they're dollar denominated. So a stronger dollar typically means it should be weaker commodity prices and vice versa. But of course, it hasn't really been the case. Over time, it will always be that way. But in the short run, you never know. I mean, actually, if you look at it, when the dollar was peaking near par, which is where I thought I was going to go to, the commodities were also rising at the same time.
Yep.
So I do watch it, and it does have some value. But right now, you know, the whole fiat currency system, which is, you know, when they went off the gold standard, we went to the fiat currency, so all commodities, all dollars are supposed to free float. Well, you've got a race between all the central banks trying to devalue their currencies to improve their export. So that's, you know, so we're always in the worst of it because they're already at negative rates, which, again, punishes their currency, which makes ours worth more, which is why more than likely you're going to see a cut tomorrow. And again, I don't blame them. I don't think it's due. I don't think it's warranted. But based on the rest of the world and based on that we're borrowing the money, okay, you know, because that's really what we're doing. I mean, those are U.S. Treasury bonds that are guaranteed by the full faith and credit of the government. I mean, we're paying interest. So if we went down a full point, the money would still be flowing in to lend us because we're the only one who'd be positive in the world.
You know, it feels like a, you know, best house in a bad neighborhood scenario. Feels like, you know, cleanest shirt in the dirty laundry, whatever you want to say. But Bubba, that isn't really the case with the U.S. economy right now, is it?
I think so. Look, I think it's sad. I do. I think it's sad that the whole stock market, the whole market structure is sitting here waiting on their hands and knees, waiting for the Fed, like Pavlov's dogs, waiting to see what he's going to do. And basically know what he's going to do. They've kind of priced it in already. But this is the whole sadness because, you know, we've got massive amounts of debt, right? We've got many, many problems here that are going to have to be rectified eventually. You know, we did the same thing in 1998 when the markets are starting to give way a little bit after the internet bubble, and they decided the Fed stepped in, okay, to try to stave off the recession, okay? And, of course, they did for 3 years. But then the NASDAQ itself collapsed, and it took it 10 years to get it back, right? Yeah. This is the same thing they're doing now. They're worried, and again, I continue to say that I believe we're in the very early stages of a recession, okay? And, again, that's not a horrible thing if the Fed and the government would just let them happen, because what does a recession really do? It eliminates the weak people. It eliminates the weak hands and puts them out of business. Okay. But it then regenerates new and allows the economy to continue to grow versus the manipulation that they always try to do to try to not let the markets go into recession or not let the economy go into recession. But it always does. I mean, again, you can't change the natural order of a market or of an economy. It just doesn't work. They can try all they want. But again, that's why the Keynesian economy, which is what we go by, and don't get me wrong, Austrian's not like the panacea. There's a combination between the two that would work. But, you know, everybody's too stubborn, so they would rather print money, which really reduces your dollar, right? Yep. I mean, they're reducing your value. So, you know, so you're making more, but look at the valuation of the dollar. You know, corn is still basically the same as it was in 1999. I bought corn before the ethanol factor was involved in it at $1.90. Okay, I said, sure. Hell, I got to buy this. If this goes any lower, we're not going to zero. And that's, you know, I always look. Those are the value plays I look for. But again, we're at the same price, basically.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you. I hear you. So on back on the equity side again.
Yep.
Should in your portfolio? Okay, you got a mix of your investments. Should you be playing defense with some of that portfolio?
Well, Chip, I'm a real big believer, okay, of hedging your portfolio, just like I hedge grains.
Yep.
I hedge portfolios. See, I'm 100% believer that you should always be 100% invested in the U.S. stock market. Why? Because, again, I can talk about recession. I can talk about a market that should break down at some point here. But at the end of the day, if you stay
dollars.
In, if you stay in, the market goes up 8.5% year over year for 150 years. I don't think that's going to change now. So if you know how to hedge it and use derivatives properly, you can actually compound your portfolio faster and actually be a buyer of equities when everybody's puking them out, because you're actually creating cash to your hedge. You know, it's not like hedging the farm where you're trying to play defense against low prices of money you've already borrowed. This is money you're investing that you want to make sure stays there so your nest egg is still there. So if you can stay 100% invested as long as you're hedging properly, it allows you to ride out any storm in the market, knowing that your risk is going to be 2 to 3%, which anybody can tolerate that, because obviously nobody ever sells until they're down 20% when it's already too late.
Yep, that's right. I hear you, man. I hear you loud and clear.
You know, the same people want to buy puts in the market, right? No matter what market it is, that's why they're all the same. The only time people buy them is when they're panicking, okay? And it's too late. So what happens then is the volatility explodes these things, so the price you paid is so much you can never get out no matter what happens to the market. You know,
right.
In 1987, in equities, there were people that were paying for puts that if the market was going to go below zero, which we know was impossible. But that's the panic that runs through everybody's mind. It's either the fear of missing out or the overall panic creates a lot of these bad situations. That's why you always have to be cool head, relaxed, and take a deep breath before you ever make a decision when you're thinking of chasing it.
Gotcha. Okay. Got a question from at Corn King, it's KNG 333. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to trust him on this, that this is actually the case. He says, besides volatility, why is there less premium in corn and soybean options out to the July, okay, than there was 5 and 10 years ago? If he was asking me that question, I would say, well, it's got to be the volatility side of things, isn't it? But he's saying besides volatility. Are there any reasons for that?
Well, yeah. I mean, look, bottom line is there's the markets are very low priced. So, again, how much lower do you think you're going to go? You know, when complacency comes in to markets, that it brings down volatility. Let me explain this. The easiest way is when people are selling a lot of puts right now, okay, because that's a way of backwards buying any product. So we'll use corn. So you're backwards buying. You're selling puts naked, which means you're really buying the future. But you only can collect that amount of premium. So if the futures don't move, you get to keep the premium. But that's what brings volatility down. So what that's telling you is that the market is very complacent right now and that they don't expect a lot of movement, which to me means that there's a big move coming. And I do believe that there is a huge move coming in the grains. And I do think it's higher. But again, right now we're in this languishing period of nothing going on. There's no volume. So the volatility continues to shrink because people get complacent and start selling these naked puts into the market. And then the next thing you know is you get a move in the markets, and either it goes for them or against them. But that's what creates – that's what the VIX index is actually built on. Puts being sold open.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You said because the grains are low priced. Low priced relative to what? Relative to – a rate of inflation relative to the equities, relative to where we were 20 years ago, relative to what?
Yes, to all of them. I mean, look, again, I mean, well, you know, I know they keep saying there's no inflation, but I know my gas bill goes up all the time. I know the price of a combine, although they're much nicer now, but again, they're a lot more expensive. I know my operational costs are a lot more expensive, yet here I am sitting with $3.80 corn, okay? I mean, again, so in relative value to anything else, it's pretty damn cheap the way I look at it, which is, again, that's how I determine overall value for myself, is I say, you know, where are they going to go? You know, again, they can go lower, and I'm not saying they won't go back to $3.50. But at the end of the day, you know, there's a point at some place that they have to stop going down. And this is when I look at it and I go, if I look at every other metric around and I go, grains are one of the cheapest assets in town right now. Okay? Because that's what markets show us based on overall price. But again, it doesn't mean they're going up tomorrow, but in relative value, pick any commodity you want. Other than that, in relative value, how the price of grains react?
Sir, you and I could sit and talk for hours. I'd love to do it. Good grief, Bubba. Thank you so much for making time for us today. Really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be here. I guess I'll talk to you tomorrow for about 3 minutes, though, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, now? Exactly. We'll do it. All right. Thanks, Bubba. That is Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Davis and I going to wrap up hour two of today's AgriTalk in just a moment.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
Sweet strawberry icing. You're in Goodwill and just past that vintage denim jacket, you spot miniature donut earrings. You lean in. Ah, that's the scent of shopping success. Because at Goodwill, every item you buy funds local job training and more. So bring home those donut earrings and bring home so much good to your community. Goodwill. Bring good home. Brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal-to-Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the D.C. Signal-to-Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019, in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
I'm Andrew McRae, your host for Farming the Countryside. We're talking about issues, tips, and trends affecting rural and agricultural America.
And then it was a burden on the local office. Essentially, you just have our county right now, or PLC.
On each show, I talk with guests who provide the latest info on important topics and the challenges and successes on their own operations.
We had an open house and invited the entire community. It was a huge event. We had about 750 people show up.
The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Nutrien Ag Solutions, the world's largest provider of crop inputs and services.
Looking for a great deal on your next piece of farm equipment? Well, check out Machinery Pete's Price Slasher Sale now through October 31st. It's all online at machinerypete.com/sale. Get deep discounts on a variety of equipment from dealerships across the country. Don't miss the chance to find that piece of equipment you've been looking for, and for a steal. Shop Machinery Pete's Price Slasher Sale now through October 31st. Visit machinerypete.com/sale now.
When you're really hungry, sometimes only the leftovers can fill you up. We're serving up a big portion of Tuesday's meatloaf right now on AgriTalk.
I like meatloaf. Welcome
steaming,
back.
Steaming pile of AgriTalk radio meatloaf.
Yes.
Jeez, I couldn't even say it. I was so busy eating it.
I don't know. Let's not use meatloaf and steaming hot pile together anymore.
No.
Hey. That Machinery Pete Price Slasher Sale that John Harrith was just talking about there. Mm-hmm. We talked to Greg Peterson about that yesterday. You've got to check it out. MachineryPete.com/sale. Okay? It is a real – it's astounding. I mean, when you look at some of those retailers that are taking $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 off a piece of very expensive equipment, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, they're knocking it off. They're trying to reduce inventory out there right now, and they are using Machinery Pete to get that job done.
Well, looky there. So,
yeah. Welcome back. I'm Chip. That's Davis.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
We just talked to Bubba.
That we did.
The dollar, the comments that Bubba was making on the dollar, mm-hmm. Long term, I'm so glad that he made those comments about long term.
Yeah.
The value of the U.S. dollar will have an influence on commodity prices. As long as we remain and fight for some share of the global export market, we will continue to be influenced by the value of the U.S. dollar. The trick here lately is watching not just the dollar, but watching the currencies of the countries that are most competitive against the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The dollar can move and move big and have relatively relatively little impact on the value of grains. Maybe not the value of grains, but the price of grains. That's probably a better way of putting it.
All right.
Okay. Can have little impact on the price of grains. But you get a big rally in the Brazilian real. You get a big rally in the Argentine peso.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, those growers there are saying, now, wait a second, what is going on? I'm not getting as many reals or getting as many pesos as I did last week when I sold a truckload of corn. I'm just going to let it sit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to, you know, so they the currency fluctuations, Brazil, Argentina, Russia, and the Russian ruble, I mean ruble.
Barney.
And the Ukrainian, whatever it is, I should know.
Oof, I
might
don't
be
know.
The Vespa.
Mm-hmm. I think it is the Vespa. Pretty sure.
I don't think it's the Vespa.
I'll give you 5 Vespas more if you'll throw in the tire. That sounds right.
I don't know. I should know. Doggone it. I'll have to look it up.
I'm going to the Google. You
All
keep
right,
going. I'll find it.
Thank you. So it's the movement in the currencies of the countries that we are competing for those exports. That's what matters more on a day-to-day and a short-term basis than does the movement of the U.S. dollar index. Low-priced. It always, you know, when somebody says that commodities are low-priced, Bubba was talking about a buck 90-something. I remember in 1988, buck 42 and a quarter Dease corn futures.
Mm-hmm.
I remember reporting on those. There was so little price movement when I was on the floor of the Chicago Board of Trade in early 1988 that Jeff Wilson, Pro Farmer Senior Market Analyst, Jeff Wilson told me that if corn prices move 0.75 cents to file a market special to FWN, Futures World News.
Mm-hmm.
0.75 cents, Davis. That means that steady to a quarter change was the norm of the day.
Yeah.
So you get 3 times the norm, 0.75 cent move, and we were filing market specials.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the drought of 1988 hit early on in 1988, and we started to see much more volatility come into the market. Now, volatility leaked away again, obviously, but that was the lowest volatility. The first month, 2 months on the job for me was the lowest volatility I'd ever experienced. So low priced, always kind of, it's a relative thing. You know, is it low price to the rate of inflation, low price to the costs associated to gains in efficiency? You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe a buck 42 in early 1988 is the equivalent of 380 now. I don't know.
It's the hryvnia, by the way, the Ukrainian hryvnia.
Yes, Jeff Wilson. I just mentioned him. He'd be screaming at me if he was on the air.
He would know. Do you know that?
Because he would know.
Do you know what they call the currency in Vietnam?
No.
I'm not sure I can say it on the radio. Look it up, America. Those of you less mature individuals will get a chuckle out of it.
Very good.
We'll just leave it there.
All right, and the fundamentals driving the market. I'm going to have to look that up as soon as we're done. The fundamentals moving the market. I've said this before, and I believe it. I believe it so much. Futures market will lie to you. The cash market can't.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at what this basis market has been doing recently, it's been telling us more the truth of the overall total supply compared to overall total demand. It's not just a supply issue, it's a demand issue that you've got to weigh it against.
Yeah.
So look to that cash market for more of the truth in what's happening on the supply and demand side of the markets. Let's get to it. Here we go. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Transitions. Life can seem to stagnate in transition. I prefer to think of it as coiling the spring. And now today's tweets. At Mel Ray G, thinking I should have kept the kids home from school today and at least got Christmas pictures done. Hashtag at Harvest19.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
At Silage Chopper, if I was 100 miles west, I'd be a cowboy. 100 miles east, I'd be a grain farmer. Instead, I'm in the middle with my identity crisis. And this from at Sally MB.
He's with the Jokers.
Honor the space between no longer and not yet. That's a good one.
Well,
I'm going to try and remember that.
All right. Got your Halloween costume ready to roll?
I do. I'm going as a talented news host of the most popular agricultural
Boy,
radio
that will
show
be
in the
a
universe.
Change for you. That is a costume.
A little something different.
Thank you so much for listening today. We've got a farmer forum tomorrow morning.
Spend 3 days focused on building your dairy business at Milk Business Conference, November 11th through the 13th, 2019 in Las Vegas. Walk away with a competitive edge from insights on market trends and innovative ideas to optimize your dairy business. New this year, Hemp College is being co-hosted with Milk Business Conference. Find reliable sources to answer all your hemp questions and the latest information on agronomic best practices. Register for both events at milkbusinessconference.com.
3, 2, 1. Oh no. Which button am I?
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear. Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
Thanks to Acuron Corn Herbicide for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer about how you can get 5 to 15 more bushels with Acuron. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide. Acuron Yield Advantage range is based on 2016 Syngenta and University trials.